Good morning, my name is Chance Gooden, and welcome to the very first Tax Relief for Pollution Control Advisory Committee meeting. We have for today on our agenda some opening remarks, some introductions. We'll go over some parliamentary procedure, and then we'll get right down to the action items of the committee. Today we were going to have Commissioner Garcia come and do some opening remarks. However, he is ill. He currently has H1N1. So, y'all watched the agenda yesterday. He was not there. So, he is still ill, and hope he gets better soon. He wanted to come and kind of express some of his concerns. And those concerns, you probably could find those on January 13th and the January 27th agendas. Just review those. You'll probably hear that said here today, and would be echoed. Again, I'll go ahead and just introduce our staff. I'm Chance Gooden. I'm the lucky one to get to supervise the Prop 2 program. We also have Dr. Wada, which is out there making sure people get here. He actually administers the program along with Joe Thomas and Ron Hatlett, which is in the back. Most of y'all are probably familiar with these guys. And with that said, we're going to go ahead and introduce the committee members. Tim's prepared a PowerPoint, so whenever you see your slide, would you please stand up and introduce yourself? Just have a little bit of things about you so everybody at the table can know where your background is from. So,
bear with us. We've got the first computer ever.
So, the first lucky one is Mr. Nichols. Mr. Nichols, please.
Yeah, nice to meet you. John Nichols with Dow Chemical. Been in state and local tax business for about 21 years now. Currently director of state and local tax. And I guess probably my claim to fame is, at least personally with Prop 2, is that I was active in the legislative, crafting of that. Passage of it, so kind of there on the ground floor. Glad to be here.
Mr.
Bob Adair.
Bob Adair with, you can see it with ConocoPhillips. If I understand my years a little, that's okay. About 28 years. I've known some of these guys, I've known John a couple of decades and Greg, and I've had the privilege to meet with some of the others, but anyway, look forward to serving on the committee representing Texoga.
Great, thank you. Mr. Paul
Coon? I'm with Luminant and their Environmental Services Group. I'm involved in primarily in air permitting and assist in preparation of applications for Prop 2 matters and review them from a regulatory technical standpoint.
Great, thank you. Mr. Mr. Michael Massey.
Yeah, Mike Massey. I'm an attorney at Jackson Walker and a municipal task force at the Clean Coal Technology Foundation. I'm glad to be part of it.
Sorry. And Mr. Robert Castor.
Yeah, I'm Robert Castor. I work for Freescale Semiconductor here in Austin, primarily responsible for environmental compliance with air emissions, wastewater, stormwater, just about everything with waste. So kind of new to the environmental field, so looking forward to serving.
Great. And
Greg Maxim, consultant with Delphin Phelps. I've worked about half of my career on the taxpayer side and then also on the governing jurisdiction side. Glad to be here.
I'm Roland Bieber, president of Jefferson County. I've been in business since actually about 38 years.
Wow, we're way off on that one. Mr. C. Lankerzell, we took the information from your applications, by the way.
Wayne Frizzell, a registered professional engineer in Texas, certified energy manager, and a registered professional appraiser. Worked for 22 years in the utility industry, electric utility, and have been doing appraising for 5 years for Pritchard & Nevin. Our company represents about half the county appraisal districts in the state of Texas.
Thank you. Andy Arnold.
Andy Arnold, I'm a county commissioner in Jefferson County in Beaumont. Elected in 2005, I'm in my second term. Prior to that, I served 33 years with SBC, AT&T, and I was also in government affairs for a number of years with that company. Also serve on the Conference of Urban Counties Board of Directors.
Mr. Don Lee.
Yeah, thanks. My name's Donald Lee. I'm the Executive Director of the Texas Conference of Urban Counties, and I think we worked on the legislation back in 1993 when it was first passed, and then we had refinements that we proposed and worked with the legislature on in 99, and I think I again had some efforts this last session and continue to work on this policy.
Mr. Bennett Sandlin.
I'm Bennett Sandlin. I'm General Counsel at the Texas Municipal League. When I started at TML 10 years ago, my boss told me my first assignment would be on the TNRCC Proposition 2 work group. I barely knew what TNRCC was and did not know what Prop 2 was. So that's how long I've been involved in this and happy to help.
Cyrus Reed. There's a doctor there because I have a PhD, but if anyone gets medically hurt, I can't help you. Conservation Director of Lone Star Chapter of the Sierra Club. Sierra Club was a supporter of the original Proposition 2, but we've been involved since then on the various legislative efforts to refine and define it, and on several advisory groups in the past related to this issue.
Great, thank you.
Officially, I'm retired from Dow Chemical, but I have like 20 years of experience in chemical plant operations between Monsanto and college and Dow Chemical later on, 15 years as a property tax person of Dow Chemical, worked with John and for John years ago.
Great, thank you. Well, as you see, there's a lot of varying experiences here, but one thing is for sure, there's a lot of experience at this table. So the TCEQ is expecting great things from this committee. So I'm going to turn this over to Tim Reedy of OLS, and he's going to go over some parliamentary procedures for the committee.
Thanks. Before I get into it, just want to introduce myself. I'm Tim Reedy. I'm one of the attorneys that works on the Prop 2 program. I'd also like to take a minute to introduce the other attorneys that work on the program. There's my senior, Mr. Guy Henry, over there in the corner. To his right, Mr. Jose Caso, and to his right, Dan Long. First thing, just parliamentary procedure-wise, it's set up so that this committee, the members will serve four-year terms because they have to be staggered four-year terms. What we have to do now is some of you will serve two-year terms, some of you will serve the full four. The way that it's set up in the rules for us to do that is to draw lots. That will be out of this Houston Astros baseball game. All right. But I thought before we did that, if there was anybody who knew right now that maybe they'd only want to do the two-year term rather than the four, and see if we could take care of it that way. Anybody? All right, take your chances. Great. Mr. Barber? Four-year term. Mr. Castor? Four-year term. And again, I'm just saying this so we got it on tape. Mr. Sandlin, four-year term. Mr. Lee, two-year term.
That one?
That's two.
They're all sticking together.
Mr. Adair, four-year term. Mr. Reed, two-year term. Mr. Kuhn, two-year term. No celebrating if you get the two-year term. Mr. Scherer, four-year term. Mr. Nassie, two-year term. Mr. Nichols, four-year term. Mr. Maxim, two-year term. Mr. Arnold, two-year term, and Mr. Frizzell, four-year term. Now, those of you that are disappointed with your two-year term, don't worry, you can be reappointed. You lucky dogs. The next thing that I wanted to go ahead and distribute The commission and the program here was very desirous that this committee kind of hit the ground running. So I've taken the liberty of drafting some proposed bylaws, and this is just a way to, for us to kind of conduct business here, to make sure that this committee speaks to the commission, if not in one voice, then as consistently as possible. It's not a very long document. I think it's about 3 pages. We can go through the high points here once everybody has a copy. But again, I realize I'm not the only lawyer in the room. If you guys see anything in there that is objectionable or that you want to change or would like to amend, feel free to raise that now. And again, these things can be amended at any time with the majority of the committee members voting, at least the way that it's set up here.
And Tim, didn't you use the MSW?
Yeah, we've looked at what had been done before, and we also looked at what was required by rule as far as the governance of advisory committees. Most of this is drawn straight from 30 TAC Chapter 5. So with that, I'll go through the high points. Let's see, number of members, terms of appointment we just did, resignation and replacement. If you can't, for any reason, fulfill the full your full term, the commission will appoint someone for you. Attendance. I was very glad to see that everybody showed up today, because it would have counted against you if you hadn't. If you missed 3 consecutively regularly scheduled meetings or more than half of all the regularly scheduled meetings in a 1-year period, then you're automatically off of the committee. So we appreciate you being here today. Presiding officer. I'm going to hit on everything dealing with the presiding officer because I'm going to ask you to elect one here in a moment. The presiding officer is basically the way we've kind of seen it and the way it's set up in the rules is the person who's going to compile the written recommendations of this committee and deliver those to the commission. So you can to be the presiding officer, you guys are going to elect them by a majority. Elections will be held annually or at a request of the majority of the members. Meeting scheduled, currently we're scheduled to go quarterly or at the call of the presiding officer or the commissioners. We've just started out quarterly. If it turns out that, you know, twice a year is good enough to get it done, then obviously we can amend these to do twice a year, or we'll just see how it works out. Agenda development, again, that's a pretty standard fixed order for an agenda for these types of committees there at the end. Call to order, roll call, reading of minutes, old business, new business, announcements, then adjournment. The executive director staff will assist the presiding officer in setting the agenda for the next meeting. Should any members wish to add an item to the agenda, you'd be responsible for presenting that item to the presiding officer for inclusion in his, well, it's going to be his at this point instead of his or her, but his discretion. Motions and voting, again, just procedural stuff in order to kind of keep this as orderly as possible because we are recording it and do need to have a record of it. There's procedures there for obtaining the floor, for making a motion, voting for establishing a majority for things like bylaws and electing the presiding officer. It's going to be a majority of all members of the committee. For other things, you know, it's just going to be a simple majority of those people who show up. And again, what we foresee you guys voting on any issue that the commissioners have requested advice on. So there would be an official recommendation from this committee. However, consensus is not required. If you feel strongly about, and we fully foresee that there might be a number of options before you on certain matters, if you feel strongly that option 2 was the way to go, but the committee chose option 1, the executive director staff will help you put together a minority report for why you felt option 2 was more appropriate. Periodic reports to the commission, again, whenever they ask for it. Annual reports to the commission we're required to do by rule. records of committee meetings. As Chance said earlier, we're going to have an audio recording, and that's going to be posted on our website. We're also under an obligation under the rules to keep official minutes and a record of attendance of each of these meetings, and those will be posted on the website as well. As you can see from the people behind you, public participation, these are all public meetings. They're all going to be welcome to come and see what we're doing. If should any of them desire to speak, it'll be within the presiding. We're going to have you do, I believe, when you sign in, is to indicate that desire, and then it would be within the discretion of the presiding officer to yield the floor to them. So that's how it's currently set up.
I'd like to add that sign sheet. If y'all haven't signed in, please do so. We plan on creating a listserv with emails. What we'll do is we'll have anytime something's updated on the website, if you're a part of that listserv, you will get updated, notified of the minutes being posted or a committee meeting being held, because these are all public meetings. So I encourage you to give us your email, even though it says optional on that list.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a time to make comments.
Sure.
On these. I mean, I recently served with the City of Austin on a task force related to the energy plan. And one thing we did in the agenda is we actually had on the agenda each week after reading of the minutes a chance for the public to make comments. And so it just became part of our regular routine. And we had it very limited. You know, we'd give people a few minutes if they want to make comments related to something on the agenda. But I don't know how the other members feel. But I think there's a lot of expertise in this room. And as particular issues come up, having us not hear individually, but hear the point they want to make at the same time, as long as it's a limited time, I think would be very useful. Just make it part of the agenda. And I don't know. So my motion would be to add in the agenda development a number 4 after the reading of the minutes, where you just say opportunity for public to make comments.
So you.
So it would just be part of the
recording. Go ahead and just set that as a policy now. We're going to do that every meeting instead of leaving it to the discretion of the chair.
I think so. I mean, as long as maybe we put some limits on it, just like they do at a commission agenda meeting where they say you have 3 minutes, we don't want to. I mean, I don't think there's going to be 500 people. I won't put any action alerts on the Sierra Club listserv for people to comment to the advisory committee. there may be a particular issue where somebody wants to say, you know, here's why this is important to our business, or.
I'm comfortable with the chair. Presiding officer kind of figuring out how best to structure that. I'm comfortable with that, but if that was proceeding in a way in which there were people coming to these meetings who couldn't get their comments in, then I'd want to revisit this issue, and I'd want to revisit probably even who the chair is, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's important that we have that input. I don't know if we need it as a standing agenda item every week, every time we meet, but I don't really. Doesn't bother me.
I think it's important to note that, I don't know if y'all saw, there's forms that are back there along with the sign-in sheet. And it's the same type of form that is used at our commissioner's agenda, and it outlines the nature of how they want to address the committee, and it's not just, you know, at a whim. They can't just get up at a whim and decide they want to talk. It's very structured, and it's planned ahead, so the committee is aware of what's going to be addressed to the committee.
What if we added to
one back there, but the pretty standard.
What if we added to 3 that the presiding officer shall ensure there is an opportunity for public comment at every meeting? Would that, in other words, instead of putting it into the agenda, where it is in the agenda every meeting, setting that in the bylaws, just charge the presiding officer with ensuring that the public that wants to come speak has an opportunity during any particular meeting.
And let the presiding, presiding officer presumably would have access to those copies, and if somebody wrote down on, you know, new business, this item, I really want to address the committee, then they would know that.
Right.
But yeah,
right.
That might be a way to do it.
All right, so we had a motion up.
I'll withdraw my motion, and now you make a new motion.
There you go. I was just trying to friendly amend your motion. No, I would move that we amend item three in Article 4 to something to the, along the lines, require the presiding officer to ensure that there is opportunity for public participation during each meeting.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, then it goes to a vote.
Discussion. No, it's open for discussion now.
Go ahead.
I'm okay with this. I was only going to say that I can envision public comments possibly being appropriate at the end, after the hearing, hearing what we're saying in a meeting. So it doesn't necessarily have to be at the beginning.
This would give
You may have public comments on an agenda item.
Right.
And you wouldn't want, I don't think you'd want to preclude those either.
Right. Mm-hmm. But his motion would allow the presiding officer to say who's actually signed up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was an action item for a vote, and they could hear public comments before the vote was actually taken.
Yeah.
If the presiding officer should deem it necessary. What about limitations of the time? Does that go into this, or is that
again
a call from?
I can think that would fall under the discretion of the presiding officer if he wanted to limit public comments to 5 minutes a party or something along those lines.
Do you really want to put that in the bylaws? Wouldn't we want to just specify that on a case-by-case basis?
Right. I think you some
that add discretion.
And I think
that discretion
done.
Is in here.
I think that's done.
I mean, some instances you would be dealing with a an issue where maybe, we needed 10 minutes to fully flesh out some two.
If Cyrus goes back on his word and brings up Sierra Club, then we're going to need, some sort of limit.
Right, definitely. I'll tell you who to limit specifically.
So anybody want to make a motion to vote on it?
Question.
I'll vote for it.
Motion to vote, seconded?
Second.
All right, so I think the way that it's set up right now, we would do voting by roll call, and again, this is just for ease of everything being recorded. We'd ask you to say aye or no to indicate your agreement or disagreement, and we'll start with Mr. Castor?
Aye.
Mr. Sandlin?
Aye.
Mr. Lee?
Aye.
Mr. Adair?
Aye.
Mr. Reed?
Aye.
Mr. Kuhn?
Aye.
Mr. Sheriff?
Aye.
Mr. Nassie?
Aye.
Mr. Nichols?
Aye.
Mr. Maxim?
Aye.
Mr. Arnold?
Aye.
Mr. Frizzell?
Aye.
Mr. Bible?
Aye.
So bylaws are adopted unanimously.
I thought it just for this
one. Was it just this provision?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was
the motion was amending what was in front of.
Yeah. That was slick.
Trying to keep us moving, man. Trying to keep us moving. Okay. Are there any other? Any other issues on bylaws?
Can I bring up one more issue?
Sure.
This is just an open question, does there need to be some sort of a quorum that says a majority established by a simple majority of all members present? If there's only five people present, is it okay with us that three of them vote A on some motion, or would we need a certain minimum number? It's just a question. I don't know how other groups have functioned, but usually you want, I don't foresee a big problem that we're going to have meetings where we only have five people present, but I don't know how people feel about that.
And there's no provision for proxy.
Yeah, or can, right, that's the other issue. Can you say, have a person be your stand-in?
I mean, and again, I would just think that the reason, if I could put in my two cents, the reason for this commission was the expertise brought by these individual members.
Yeah.
I think it would be very difficult to get that same expertise from a proxy.
I agree, and we don't.
Maybe I should have said absentee voting. I've got a question. Is the intent to follow pretty much Robert's rules of order being that strict, or we're going to have a more open conversation?
Time
management.
The only reason that I looked at Robert's rules, and it was a way to ensure that at the end of this thing there is an official record for here's what the committee
came to their consensus on. This was the voting. This is who supported it. This is who didn't support it. These are the minority right. opinions. This is who yeah. supported it. This is who didn't support it.
I'll second the motion to adopt the bylaws with the one change. Second in motion.
Anybody else? We're sort of lost here on the discussion of whether reform Cyrus is correct.
Yeah, I mean, the way you would do it is you would say, for all other matters, a majority is established by a simple majority of all members present, as long as X numbers, you know, I don't know what the X is. I don't know if people feel that we need this or not. I'm just throwing it out there.
You know, there is at some point, if there's a lack of participation, it does not make sense for this group to speak with a voice. Mm. If there's three of us, we know that's too little, right?
The point is, there's no quorum provision in the bylaws.
Is there any quorum provision or any other things that govern the operation of this?
Not before that, not currently before
the resolution of the commission or anything?
No, not in our rules.
Are there any other advisory committees?
I looked at the MSW advisory committee and I didn't see a quorum. Quorum.
Well, basically, we have mandatory attendance.
Yeah, the fact that we can't vote by proxy is telling
them. It seems that if the group was smaller one day, it was six, you're still going to have the for and against or the minority opinion option, even if it's a small group, isn't it correct? And so even if it's a small group, you still have it.
You would hope.
Right.
Well, couldn't everybody make it if it's just four or two times a year?
I think everyone plans to make it. This shouldn't ever come into effect. Mm-hmm. Just by looking at the turnout of this today, I think we're pretty much all going to be here, but there's going to probably be one few meetings where one or two of us don't make it. So it probably doesn't matter, Cyrus.
Okay.
But at the same time, I don't think it would make sense for the committee to ever speak with only six of us here.
If we said something, as long as eight members are present.
How many members in the committee?
13
to
7.
7 to be a majority.
I don't have a problem with a 7. If there's less than 7 here, something's wrong with the advisory committee.
Okay.
So a majority of a 7.
Yeah.
7 would be the majority.
It'd be a quorum.
As long as a quorum of 7 is present.
I don't see any harm with that. In my opinion, if only 6 of us are here at one of these meetings, something's wrong.
Well, that's a 50% quorum is what that is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
51.
Well, about 50.
About 50.
Does that give the commission any heartburn? Or the department or whatever we call you all?
The executive director?
The executive director. Does that give you any heartburn?
No, sir, not at all.
Then I'll make a motion. Well, go ahead.
The only problem I have with that is if I'm here and I'm one of the six, I'm not going to be happy.
I agree.
With the other seven. So, you know, I think there's a self motivation
I think too, if something comes up and 7 of the committee members call in and say, I'm not going to be able to make a specific meeting,
then we ought to cancel. Yeah, that would be fine. I mean, the executive director can tell you right now.
One of the things we can do to protect against the concern that a minority voice can't be heard is that I don't think the minority statement is tied to attendance at the meeting. I think that the presiding officer is going to prepare briefing material on the commission. When we take recommendations, I think the board's statement can be integrated with minority's views regardless of whether they attend.
Never.
And couldn't you, let's say there was a meeting that only six attended and 4 out of the 6 voted for something. At the next meeting, presumably someone could bring up the issue again and say, I'd like to re-vote this issue now that we have more people here. So.
I mean, I think it's always a good idea to have a quorum requirement, but if it is the commission's practice to not require a quorum for some of the reasons that, you know, that are raised about people being concerned about wasting their time if they came and didn't have a quorum, then I think we have some measures to address the fact that we wouldn't require a quorum. I'm okay. I'll accept a friendly amendment, but I'd open it for discussion. Do we really think we need to have a quorum requirement, given what we heard is that might be counter to what the commission's practice has been? I heard it. We don't currently require a quorum of MSW Advisory Council.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, so
but almost everybody's usually there.
Yeah. I think we should at least have a unwritten statement or understanding that we should have a quorum before we conduct business. But
well, just to, you know, I kind of almost don't care either way, but just to dispose of the issue, I'll make a motion that the bylaws be amended to establish a quorum requirement of 7.
Would you accept, in case the number of committee members changes 50%, above 50%?
Yes.
One more than 50.
Yes.
How about I accept a friendly amendment to my motion to adopt the job of the bylaws as amended to include a comma after present, so long as a quorum of 50%, or at least 50% is present.
And that's the motion I meant to make.
And I'll accept it as a second.
I do.
So no further debate on this issue? Should we take to a vote? Okay. Mr. Castor?
Aye.
Mr. Salmon?
Aye.
Aye, sir.
Aye.
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 Aye. All right. I was hoping that would be unanimous. Otherwise, I was going to have to. That was going to be tough.
All right.
So, we have another motion and second already on the table now that we need to move to. Motion to accept the.
I was hoping
that was an all-encompassing motion.
Good.
Thank you.
All right, bylaws done.
Congratulations.
All right, now presiding officer. Again,
that would have been earlier.
Required by rule, as I stated before, he's going to be responsible for drafting and delivering the. Our written recommendations to the commission and keeping the official records. Everything's going to pass through him, and also hopefully we'll be doing some of what I've been doing just now, just presiding over the meetings themselves. So I guess now I'd call for nomination.
Make the nomination. I'll be here. I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Further nomination?
I've got a discussion. Does anybody want to self-nominate themselves?
I'd like to make a motion. I'll nominate Don Lee.
Don Lee. Okay.
Second. For Don Lee.
In the discussion, I came a little late, so I missed your introduction. Could you tell us again who you are, who you represent, your experience?
I'm with ConocoPhillips. I represent Texoma, and what I was about to say in my discussion is I want to make it very clear that my nomination from Texoga was not conditional on me supporting any particular company's position. And I made that very clear, and they, I didn't have any other conditions on that. They worked with me for quite a while, and they basically trusted my judgment and put my name forth. So I intend to make my decisions based on what's in the best interest of the state, and I think Texoga's position will be aligned with that. That's kind of where I'm coming from.
Any further nominations, or Mr. Lee, if you'd like to say anything?
Well, the Conference of Urban Counties has supported the Prop 2 program from inception. We've always also been very active in devising refinements to the program when we think that technology and time has outpaced the program where it was. And we work with all the work groups. So I think as far as chairing this, I'm not sure that's all that big a deal. That's just kind of keeping this thing structured and running and going. And I'm sure Bob would do a fine job. So I'm not trying to get any sort of push on that, but from our standpoint, the program is important to the state going forward, and it's important that it stay in shape, and in shape to as was originally envisioned, because we have seen this program get out of shape in other states.
and we've seen, and it's one that will constantly be challenged. It's an extremely challenging policy area for this agency and for the state. So we like being active in that. It is extremely important to counties because of the extent of industrial development that takes place in unincorporated areas and counties' sole dependency upon the property tax. At the same time, the exemption is extremely important to counties as well because of the importance of industrial taxpayers to our communities. So.
Well, I guess because we got Mr. Adair's nomination first, should we put that one to a vote? Any objections?
Can I suggest that rather than do that, that way we have to, instead of having to vote against someone, that we just vote by ballot? Okay. That way we're not expressing any negativity towards either candidate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be my motion.
We need a motion just to vote by, just to do a written ballot?
Yes.
Everyone else.
So just take off a piece of paper, write the name down, and then give it to me, put it in the hat.
Yeah.
The Astros hat.
I want that back at the end.
Whenever you're ready, I'll come and get it from you.
What year was that when they had the secret ballot on the lieutenant governor's race? On the,
that's right, with Ratliff.
Yeah.
So is this the message we're supposed to vote according to the bylaws we just agreed to? This is not part of the work where we vote by roll call?
By roll call. I think we had a motion on the floor and it was seconded to do this by ballot. I didn't hear any objections to that. We could have had an official vote on whether or not to deviate sure from the roll call.
I understand here. It's okay with me.
Okay. I just don't see any position. No.
Yeah,
I don't care enough to vote.
You're right.
Against them.
You're right. There's no. We just need to go through a process that makes a decision.
You disenfranchised Paul.
He had to think about it.
I would wait for him to work his way around.
All right. Drum roll. Don Lee. Bob Adair. Bob Adair.
Why do I think I'm on Survivor?
Yeah. Just do the count.
Just do the count.
I'm sorry. Where are we now?
Bob Adair. 3 for Bob Adair, 1 for Don Lee.
Okay.
4 for Bob Adair.
If it ties, do we have to like compete on making fire?
Armless. Yeah. 5 for Bob Adair. 6 for Bob Adair. Don Lee. 2 for Don Lee. 7 for Bob Adair.
That should be enough.
Don Lee. So, 6 to 7. Bob Adair.
Congratulations, Mr. Adair.
And now the reign of terror begins.
I wanted to say this before, but I didn't want to come across as a campaign speech. So, but I want to say that I am very adamant about, I guess, representing the majority opinion and the minority opinion. So I'm not here to railroad anything that's not my intention. But enough of that. You'll get to know me, and hopefully we'll work well together.
Okay, with that, we've got an action item portion of our agenda. Congratulations on adopting bylaws and electing the presiding officer. And we provided to you guys in advance of this meeting a copy of the current equipment and categories list. As most of you that are familiar with the program know, the equipment and categories list has to be reviewed and updated every 3 years. There's a rulemaking that's currently working its way through the process,
and as part of that rulemaking, we were hoping to satisfy this requirement as well. So, as it's set up in our rules, items may be added if there's compelling evidence that the item provides pollution control benefits and a justifiable pollution control percentage is calculable. Items may also be removed if there's compelling evidence to support the conclusion that the item does not render pollution control benefits. In addition to those two things, there are descriptions that are on the equipment categories list. If there are descriptions that you think need to be clarified, we would welcome those opinions as well. And with that, I'll turn it over to the presiding officer and to the floor for debate.
Can I ask a procedural question, Chair?
Yes.
I have the question.
Sure.
The rulemaking that's pending, what is the time frame for what you guys need in terms of input from this committee? It would be helpful for this committee to know when we need to deliberate. It may be appropriate, people can throw something
good
at me, that we meet more frequently than quarterly, facilitate your schedule, at least initially. I don't want to suggest that. It's not a motion. But I'm asking the question.
The main deadline is we're trying to have proposal of the rules, I believe, in June.
Yes, the timeline, we are a very tight timeline. Actually, we need responses by March 5th. That's next Friday. We have to send this rule over to for fiscal analysis and impact, and then we have to start it for management review April 1st. Don't know if you're aware of commissioner timelines, but just because something's out of agenda on this day, we have to back that up probably 4 to 5 weeks to actually get it onto the agenda at that time. So we're kind of right in front of the ball, per se. So we do need some expedited responses from the committee on these items that we laid before you. We probably could have some leeway with the March 5th date. We could probably roll through the following week while fiscal analysis is being done.
Cool.
Any of the things that are being looked at does have a fiscal impact, then we could give that to them. But at any rate, we're still having a very expedited review on the items that we laid before the committee. I heard there were some people that didn't have copies. Who did bring their copies with them that got mailed so I can go make copies for you guys?
I'm sorry, I came from another meeting. I never got back to my office. So.
Okay, so I'll make
it's mine. I think I've got the same thing. I got the website.
But isn't it that that March 5th deadline is for us to provide the final document for management here at the agency to start considering it working through the process tonight?
No, did you bring the timeline with you, ma'am?
Joe, okay. Did Joe remain on that?
Where is it?
Yeah,
it's
in
my folder.
Okay.
So what's our work cut out with?
So I need one.
This is the existing list?
Yes, sir.
Sure.
This is part A.
Sure.
Okay.
While he's retrieving that follow-up, is it currently the staff's plan to recommend any changes to the ECL list? Or does the current draft internal review document reflect changes to the ECL?
Okay.
We're taking a look at it right now. I mean, where we are today might not be where we are tomorrow or in 2 weeks' time.
When do y'all plan to get add, delete, or modify?
That would happen officially once the rules are proposed.
See, we're kind of in a difficult spot. I mean, it's taken us a good while, as you can tell from us just now, going through all the steps to go through the formation of the committee. But under the usual timeline that we would follow, we would have the information back from our stakeholders usually by March the 5th. Here, you know, just now coming in to jump into the middle of the process that we've been somewhat started with. And so as Tim mentioned, we're going to be considering this topic and several others in the proposed rulemaking. As far as the committee, I think there's
through the years, I've worked on various rulemakings, and so has Miner and Joe and many others. But, you know, there's a long process for the agency's rulemaking to go forward. And so throughout that process, we can get input from the committee all the way up through the end of the comment period. So a lot of times we like to work in recommendations from the advisory committee early on in the process, but that doesn't prevent information, thoughts, ideas, suggestions, opinions coming in later on through the comment process. So, and I think that would be even sometime probably this summer. I guess what I'm trying to say is, right, if we don't have anything by next Friday, we'll still got plenty of opportunity for input.
Yeah, we do, but we just have to be careful that if you don't, if it's not presented at proposal, then it's off the table for adoption. So just have that in mind. If you don't, if it's not put into the proposal of the rule when it's laid out before the commission, then regardless if it comes up after that, we can't put it in there. So just make that cast your net wide approach. So after June, if it's something that doesn't need to come, go into the rule, we have the option to take it off or actually comment. So the basic is the public has to have the opportunity to comment on those things.
So is it fair to assume at this point that y'all are satisfied with the ECL the way it exists today? Y'all think the staff the way it's written?
I'm not part of the rule team, so I'm not privy to that.
There will be some changes to the equipment categories list. What those changes might be, again, that hasn't been finalized and gone up through agency management. What we're hoping to get from the committee, at least at this point, and again, we apologize for the tight timeline, is before we go to proposal to have some suggestions, or if you've got some directions that you guys would like to go, that we would be able to incorporate that into the proposed rulemaking. Mm-hmm. Now, there would be additional opportunity, as Guy said, for this committee to weigh in on the proposed rules. That's, you know, there's going to be a public meeting after rule proposal that's going to occur, I believe, in July. So our timeline's not that constrained, but what Chance was pointing to is if there's a concept that you think should be addressed, that probably needs to get addressed early on in the process so we can roll in something to at least cover that concept in the proposed rule. Because once the rules have been proposed, there's notice and comment concerns for new items being raised. So you can tweak what's already there after proposal, but you can't make wholesale changes.
I understand your timeline, but my general concern is this is a major decision in my mind, and when you're on a very quick timeline, there's a higher chance of you not having a good product.
Right.
So I think we need to spend a little time.
Right. So just looking at this, kind of skimming it, I mean, you know, even to the end of March, I mean, the rulemaking team will be incorporating internal comments. And then another key deadline is for us to have the draft document kind of ready for preliminary draft for the commissioners and the general counsel's office the end of April. And then the final draft the end of May. So depending on what others think, I mean, I think that the committee can meet maybe once or twice before the end of April to form some recommendations. That's what I'm seeing.
Okay. So you would ideally like to have a recommendation from us by the end of April?
Sometime in the middle of April would be nice. So I'm trying to stretch, you know, extra yeah. 6 weeks right. from
One of the issues, long frame rulemaking time frame, we want these rules to be, whatever the rules are that get revised, we want them to be in place before the next tax season, mm-hmm. And hopefully before the legislature meets. Mm-hmm. Also. So.
Sure.
I guess another observation to make is that the nature of this committee is to help staff, so staff has a sounding board for ideas. So I think at minimum we would want to have a meeting, it's y'all's call, have a meeting where you bounce off your propose changes to DCL at minimum, even if nobody on this committee were to offer a change, to at least have a dialogue with the committee about the proposed change. Here, this is just a little bit different than your traditional stakeholder input process, I guess, is what I'd say, having a special group.
And I think it's still good to hear from one of the commissioners, too.
And so, I'm just throwing this idea out, is maybe in a month we could have another meeting.
Following Michael, right, Michael's point now, I think that it might be good to have, before publication, things go back through this committee, and I really think that's important. I agree with him completely. I'd be disappointed if the commission and the staff would move to publishing a rule for comment after establishing this advisory committee, but not bringing that to the advisory committee before publication. Because I think we all know that the majority of the good work that you can do on rules happens before publication.
The last day that the ED can allow a comment from the committee would be no later than March 30th. Because that's when we have to start our process to get it to agenda on time.
I guess we realize this may be a big, big ask. We did get it in front of you as soon as we could possibly get it in front of you after having the committee appointed and getting you guys to meet. So we apologize for the time deadline.
Right, so I mean, not a month later, I'm thinking you probably need to meet in a week and a half to 2 weeks to line out your issues, and then the next 2 weeks to prepare your whatever it is you're going to put into the rule. So staff can incorporate that into the rule, just start running that through general counsel, our management, because if y'all wait a month to meet, we'll be already submitting our rule, and y'all have an opportunity to add that in there.
So can you give us a timeline when you want us to put it in, get dates for us?
Okay, so, I mean, the date that y'all should meet would be up to the committee. Y'all would probably want to have a date that would be conducive to all of you guys, so that would, you know, presiding officer would decide on a date within next month. I would suggest maybe a week to a week and a half from now to meet, address whatever y'all want to address, come back, convene, and then work out on how y'all are going to respond, and then the next week or so prepare all the items that you want to incorporate into the rule. Now, in regards to what we have done in-house, you have it. We don't, but that's why you're formed. We need some expertise and some advice from the committee on what we would like to put in, on what you would like for us to put into this rule. The important thing to do here is cast your net wide.
Let me see if I can throw out some stuff to help us get back on track here. We're kind of, to be very honest, we're kind of in a rock and a hard place in the sense that we have a brand new committee that's coming on board, got some big issues to deal with, but at the same time, we have some legislation to implement to try to, you know, get that going and get these rulemaking taking place, because won't be too long, and 2011 will be here, and we'll start the legislative session when we're under sunset. So we've got plenty of work to do on our end. As Chance and Tim had mentioned, yes, we started the rulemaking process. We've been tweaking on some stuff, getting that going. We were not comfortable, and we didn't have approval from management to release the draft rule with our changes so far. And so to kind of give the committee an opportunity to consider, develop some recommendations, come up with some ideas. We didn't want to provide you with the draft rules right now. They're not really firmed up yet, and we hadn't had everyone sign off. And so that's why there's a set of different issues and topics for everyone to consider. What we could do is, Minor and I were talking about perhaps going forward, trying to get the rule as ready as possible,
getting management's approval and sign-off on that, so maybe we can send that to you in the very near future, give you some time, you know, at least a couple of weeks or so, to look at the rules, see what we have so far, so we're not starting on a blank sheet of paper.
A lot of the stuff that is in the rule is on that table. We pulled out issues that we would like the committee to look at.
Right.
So it's not like you're not having the rule before you. If you take the rule that's in place, you will find that very language that we're speaking about. So that's, we just, in order for us to give you the actual draft rule language, we have to give approval to management, and that takes time. So to bifurcate that process, we created a table. It's the same table we'll brief our management on when on the issues. So it was kind of a way of y'all having each item before you and coming up with options on what the issue is. If there's other things in the rule that we didn't put on that table that you think that should be addressed, then of course we could add that to the table. And then what we'll do is take that table, what you recommend, incorporate that into the rule, and move forward with the management review.
I think, first of all, the fiscal impact analysis, all the stuff that builds into an agenda, understood, that's a very important process. And the more we can give you input before it goes, because, I mean, the very nature of this program, the fiscal analysis is one that gets conducted. It's quite relevant, right? So, the second thing I'd say is that perhaps if you guys were prepared today to get the ball rolling, I think the idea of having two meetings, I'm not sure, I think we absolutely have to meet before the end of March, sounds to me. I think maybe people would agree with that. And what I'd like to hear or a discussion of is whether people think they can afford to actually have two meetings. In a perfect world, we would have it. Mm-hmm. But. Yeah, that's a question I would ask. I don't want to assume schedule availability for everybody, but you know, but the beginning of the process might be that chart you all have, for maybe to give a kind of a verbal summary of to fill in some of the gaps, because some of us have read the chart, the one page, the issues
right.
that you just mentioned,
right.
And I think maybe everybody maybe looked at that and would like to know a little bit more about what you all are trying to get at with that issue, because you know the words on the page don't actually tell the whole story,
right.
And maybe that could start today.
Sure,
you could tell us what you're going after there so that we can all think about that. And then whether or not we have some kind of written submission before now and then or two meetings, I'll defer to the chair to facilitate the discussion.
Okay. But before we get into that, could we address the meeting first? That might be easier. I don't know. And I recognize that there's some government officials here. Or is there, you might have, for example, Mr. Arnold, you might have a weekly meeting. That's not good.
We meet every Monday.
Okay, so Monday's not good.
Commissioner's Court, right?
Monday's not good. Okay. Anybody else that a particular day of the week is not good?
Not a particular day, but I'm out of town for the last 2 weeks of March, and I can't get out of it.
Yeah, I understand.
This is your time.
I could come twice between now and then, but.
Okay. I think we're all probably reaching for our calendars now.
March 11th is a Thursday. The question is, are y'all going to have something?
It's a good day.
For us to look. March 11th, it's not a Friday. I know a lot of people don't want to travel on Fridays, so we're out of town. I'm just throwing out March 11th. That's 2 weeks from, a little over 2 weeks from now. And it should give some kind of a view if they have this. If we're going to have two
mm-hmm.
in March.
We've got another agency. Committee meeting.
What about the 4th? Is it too soon?
Yeah,
it's too soon. The
4th? Middle of March is spring break for almost all the universities and schools,
yeah,
so true. A lot of us have vacations.
What week is that?
The 2 weeks week. In the middle of March.
How about the 12th?
It is Friday.
It is Friday.
12th works for me.
I mean, I just didn't say the 12th because it is a Friday. That's all. That's
works for me.
I'm okay with that.
Is that all right with staff? 12th?
March 12th.
It works.
So long as it's not on an agenda day, we're cool.
Do you have a work session on the 12th? We won't be at work session.
Yeah,
so
we'll be fine. Right. Do we need to select another date? You know, I realized Mr. Fazell
You could do it all at
that's 2 weeks.
Once. If, I mean, if y'all have your do your homework, do your homework and be prepared on every item on how you would vote, then everything could be presented and then everything could be decided at that time. If everything wants to be presented and then do another meeting to be decided, then that would take 2.
Well, it seems that maybe you need to schedule 2 meetings and try to do it in 1. I mean, how can we control that we're going to get done every first day?
That's good.
I mean,
it's a good option.
Is that a bad deal?
You could have 1 on the 12th and 1 on the 30th. 30th June.
Can you go that way?
March 8th.
It's in the TV before the 30th.
Spring break is when?
15th to the 19th is spring break.
Yeah. The first full week of April. But he's got to have something by March 30th, so.
If we met on 12th, could we meet 10 days after that? You know?
Or meet March 26th, you know, the Friday, the 2 parties after that.
All right, Thursday's better for some people. You don't want to meet on Friday.
Thank you.
Either day's okay.
You would need it by the 30th, our final report, by March 30th.
The 30th, I just found out from Mr. Sedbury over there, is actually an agenda day. It's a Tuesday, so it's a little odd.
About the 31st, or do you need it?
Can we do 31st?
Yeah. Or the previous Friday or Thursday? Would that be pushing it?
26th.
12th and 26th?
It's 26th, Thursday, or Friday?
Friday.
Okay.
Works for me.
Don't worry.
I'm okay.
Whatever's good for you.
About
10 o'clock?
We lose Wayne for the second meeting, right?
I'm not available on the 12th.
And you're not available on the 12th. Anybody else not available on those days? I am conscious of not losing 2 people.
You can be here on the 12th, right?
Yeah, I'll be here the 12th. And
okay. Okay.
Well, you're losing one person for each meeting.
Each meeting.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. What's the will of the group?
And did we already threw out the 11th, and that doesn't work for some people? Was that
Don? Somebody said something about the 11th.
I'm out there.
Yeah, I think Don's not.
Oh, he's out both days. Okay.
All right.
The reason I said on Friday is because a lot of people have to be here and then travel back on Friday. So.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I do, but that's, I'll do what I have to do. So
I do it all. What about the night? What about the 19th?
Spring break.
Spring break.
Thursday the 25th, is that better?
I think we still lose.
Well, you lose me regardless.
Yeah, you lose him regardless.
Wise and brilliant manager back there said we do have teleconference available, so we can teleconference as well. Teleconferencing is available here.
I move we meet the 12th and the 26th.
Okay. All right. Any discussion?
10 o'clock. Times.
10 o'clock.
Set the times. 10 o'clock.
Good point. This, I know the TCEQ, the commission meets on 9:30, right? Is normally. Will that help?
Sure.
To make it, if we need
earlier, I have to come from Fort Worth, and 10 o'clock works real good.
Okay.
Because I can drive down and drive home.
Okay. We'll keep it at 10 o'clock, if everyone's okay with that.
10 o'clock's good.
All right. Any other discussion? Call for a vote. All those in favor of the motion to have meetings on March 12th and March 26th at 10 a.m. here, same place?
We'll
get your room number.
Okay. All right. Say aye.
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 All right. Those opposed? All right. Motion carries.
Can I ask another procedural kind of question? Are we allowed to, if I have an opinion on one of these things, am I allowed to email or contact other members of the committee and sort of say, this is what I'm thinking about this issue? Or obviously not to make decisions, but just to let people know beforehand, is that permitted?
I,
I would hope so, because that's the only way we're going to function in this short timeframe.
Right.
Normally, as long as a quorum doesn't get together, that constitutes.
No, I'm just talking about email. He's just talking about emailing out a document you write up.
Yeah, say, here's what my thinking on item one is. This is where I think I'm thinking, what do people, you know.
Yeah.
Communicating, not making decisions.
So you did that, but I mean, you did that before. We just, you know, send it out to everybody.
Yeah.
I think we need to have staff attorneys tell us whether we're a governing body.
See, that's the issue.
Exactly, because if we are, we can't do that.
We can't do that.
That's why I'm asking the question, if it's a.
And again, not to put a damper on this committee and what it's supposed to do, but it's advising the commission on a way forward. So it's not, I think, ultimately, just from my understanding of that last ethics opinion that's come out with communication with governmental bodies, this isn't a decision-making body as far as what
anything
the commission
decide doesn't become law anyway.
What the commission's going to do. These are not final appealable decisions, so I don't think the ex parte.
You're saying no.
Problems would be a problem.
I'm saying the answer. You think the answer is no, and if y'all determine after this meeting that you were wrong. That advice, you'll let us know.
We'll let you know pretty quick.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
That the activities of this committee are not subject to the Public Information Act.
Public Information Act is a different deal, and I don't think there's any way the records are created around this are not subject to Open right, yes. Records Act. Right.
Records created by staff.
These are meetings open to the public, well. Not open meetings.
Including those in your private, including those in your private office. I'm not a lawyer, well, but I've been advised on this same issue a number of times.
A few hundred times.
As I've served on various agency committees.
Send things to everybody, which I certainly hope that's the case. Can we have somebody that we send it to and sure. Them have a mailing list and send it to everybody, an email list and send it to everyone?
Okay.
I'm
sorry.
I was distracted.
I was wanting a central point to disseminate, have somebody keep an email list, and if somebody says, I think this about this and this about this, and then the opinion gets emailed to everybody else, heck, I don't care if it's posted on the website.
Is there a central staff person that should be our contact?
So,
including someone to call if we're not going to be here. I think we need some basic things like
yes,
that.
Yes, that would be something else.
As of right now, that can be me.
Okay.
I'll let you know if that changes.
Okay. Okay.
So do y'all want to get down to the to the real discussion while you're here? Yeah.
Sorry. Your contact information.
We're getting there.
Yeah, I'll get it to you.
Okay. Don't. Can I ask one procedural question here? Now, this is all being recorded.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to have a printout or be able to listen to people's voices. Should we have a little protocol here where we say our name when we're making comments, or does it make a difference? I mean, I know what the normal procedure was.
Yeah, I think that was the.
I don't know if it's important or not to other people here.
That was the thought with the roll call voting, as far as to keep it clear on the tape.
Only on roll call.
Well, no, but again, I agree. After being recognized by the chair, if you can say, you know, Cyrus Reed, I think that. Paul Kuhn, I think.
Good point.
I think that would make a lot clearer for our records.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know where we are. Are we having conversation or discussion about the ECL right now? Are we back to that?
I think they wanted to do this.
Well, that in this, which is Cyrus Reed says, like Bo Jackson, right? Bo Jackson. The ECL is actually one of these four items.
Okay.
So if we wanted to, we could
table.
I'm saying we could take the ECL and see if anybody has any comments right now on it. I don't know if any of us have studied it in depth and actually have changes that we want or not. But that's one thing we could do is start there before looking at these other three issues.
Okay.
I actually have a question on the ECL, if we wanted to take that up.
Okay.
Which is, you know, by the previous legislation a few sessions ago that created, you know, the different 18 new categories and Part B. Is it also part of our task is also if we have opinions on what a percentage is on Part B, is that something that we're also supposed to look at? Or is it only Part A that we're dealing with?
We're statutorily required, as far as removing items from the list or adding items to the list, we are statutorily required to maintain those 18 items.
Right.
Now, I don't think there would be any problem talking about
percentages.
If you think there's a valid, justifiable percentage that would be appropriate, you know, each time that piece of equipment was used, I think this committee could obviously weigh in on that. But as far as pulling any of those things off or adding to that list, I don't.
And a second, a follow-up question. On that Part B, I remember a year or so ago, there was a lot of discussion about coming up with the right percentage for heat recovery steam generators. Was that something that the agency, at the end of the day, after we looked at all that issue, came up with an actual percentage that is being used, or is it still
a case in process?
Still
process.
We still have,
there's still fields out there, and there are still pending applications.
So that's not really something that we're going to be dealing with through this committee in terms of this list?
Not in regards to those specific applications. If advised by the commission that they would like this committee to weigh in on the issue of HRSGs, but that would be later on down the road.
Okay. I just wanted to, I didn't know if that was an issue we're dealing with right now or if that's still on.
It seems a little awkward to say our name every time when we're talking. I don't know how that's going to work. Bobby here, anyway. It seems our priority at this point, and this is mostly driven by a timetable, is to work on the ECL. So we work on that first, and if we get to the benefit of the site and the partial use determination on the agenda today, great, and hopefully we can get to some discussion on that.
And this.
Right. And by the way, this is proposed, and tell me if I'm stepping out of line, but this is proposed by TCEQ, but I think we can still have our own, we can add something to the agenda today as our own independent committee.
Certainly.
So.
Eddie Arnold comment. Bob, one thing that I have, and I'm not an expert in this by any means, but some of these issues, won't they directly impact how the ECL is formulated? I mean, especially that first one, was a byproduct or marketable, won't that have a direct impact on some of these ECL items? Would that not be an issue that would need to be kind of discussed first before we get into individual ECL items? I'm just asking a question.
Yes.
Well, that's very excellent. I think that's probably one of the reasons why I asked the intent or some history behind these from y'all's standpoint.
That's a good point. Good place to insert that, I think. If we can get
follow right.
Yeah, right. Because there's some pros and cons that I think this committee needs to be educated on.
If we can get an explanation from TCEQ staff of the basis of why this was developed, I think that would be helpful to the group.
Sure. You want to start with the ECL or the CAP or benefit at the site?
The first one.
First one's fine. CAP. Okay. This first one ties into the third one as well. And as what we've passed out to you guys, there's a copy of House Bill 3206 and 3544. What we were asked to do in those two House bills was to make sure that use determinations were equal and uniform. So one of the ways that we had thought to approach that was to try and take all applications for where there was going to be a partial determination and to take our current CAP procedure and modify it so that it might be flexible enough to deal with what are now currently termed as tier fours.
Does that also include partials that are in the ECL list?
The partials in the ECL list, I believe, would
probably, at least what we're talking about right now, is to remove anything that would be partial from the ECL list and have them come in as tier threes under the new cap. But again, that's just what's been proposed. There's been nothing, no sign-off, nothing final on that.
And Mike Cassidy, the record, could you explain, or staff be willing to explain kind of the thought process behind why partials would be removed from part of this?
Well, I can give my two cents on it. It's just the equality and uniformity in processing all of these applications, where anything that's 100%, there's not going to be a bifurcation of the ECL list. If you're 100%, we know you're 100%. That's a tier one, part A. We can process it forward quickly, and that stays there. Tier twos, if you still think you're 100%, you're not on the ECL list, those would remain unchanged. Tier threes, if we just figured if we're going to have certain pieces of equipment that are going to be partial regardless, they should all be, we should apply the same process of determining that percentage for each piece of equipment. So in some instances, we looked at the partials that were on part A of the ECL and went back to see why, you know, would this be this percentage in every instance? Could we ensure that this piece of equipment is being used in the same way every time it's being used and being applied for? And we think to allow for flexibility as far as how some of these pieces of equipment are utilized, then maybe it would be beneficial and we'd get a truer picture of what was actually going on if they were required to run the cap procedure to account for marketable product or...
Well, let me add, there's not that many, it looks like, on the Greg Maxim. It's not that many, it looks like, on the ECL that are right. Partials.
Yes.
Do we have a listing of what those original justifications were for getting a partial?
That's another issue.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's part of why we're doing this right now. Technologies have changed. Some of those things are fairly old. Quite frankly, we don't necessarily have specific justification for why those partial percentages were set at those levels.
What was done there may not apply today.
That's very much true.
So we're saying, Eddie Arnold, so we're saying that these that are partial now in the ECL, we pull those out of this 100% list and
yes.
Just leave the 100% list as it is, and then each of the partials would be reevaluated.
What's about eight? Would be a bunch of dry.
Yes, it is. I haven't been doing that either. Tim Reedy. Yes, sir.
Well, to address something specific, what do you want to call it? Wayne Frizzell, by the way, what do you want to call this list? The major issues list?
This table here?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fine. Major issues list.
On the first one, I really think that what you've done is good as far as making it a marketable product, but I think it ought to include economic or